This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. We just heard what the conversation about the mass movement of people sounds like in Europe. In the U.S., the politicized conversation about immigration sounds a little different. Here's GOP frontrunner Donald Trump telling NBC's Chuck Todd about his plan to deport 11 million undocumented immigrants and their U.S.-born kids.
So you're going to split up families?
Chuck.
You're going to deport children?
Chuck, no. We're going to keep the families together. We have to keep the families together.
But you're going to keep them together out?
But they have to go.
What if they have no place to go?
We will work with them. They have to go. Chuck, we either have a country or we don't have a country.
Well, obviously we have an individual who doesn't have an understanding of history, in particular the great repatriations of the 1930s.
Francisco Balderrama is co-author of Decade of Betrayal, Mexican Repatriation in the 1930s, about a mostly forgotten chapter of U.S. history. During the stress of the Great Depression, U.S. officials undertook a mass expulsion of Mexican immigrants and their American-born children in precisely the manner and for precisely the reasons now being championed by Trump.
Using the same language, people talked about the expulsion of Mexicans and frequently invoking the notion or the idea that we'll keep the families together. And by keeping the families together, obviously unconstitutionally deporting American citizens of Mexican descent who are American citizens by birth.
Well, I must say, if Donald Trump was clueless, so was I. You know, I know about the Trail of Tears. I know about the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. I know about the refusal to accept Jewish refugees from Nazi Germany. But until a few days ago, I had never heard about this so-called repatriation of Mexicans and Mexican Americans in the midst of the Depression. Tell me first about its scale.
Well, we're talking about conservatively over 1 million Mexican nationals. About 60% of those were U.S. citizens, either because they were children or they were spouses of Mexican nationals during that moment. And we have it occurring throughout the United States, from the American Southwest to the Midwest to the Deep South, Pacific Northwest, also including Alaska. Especially in the winter of 1930-1931, the Hoover administration conducted very publicized raids. Here in Los Angeles, we had the infamous Placita raid in downtown Los Angeles. Businesses, U.S. Steel, Southern Pacific Railroad, Ford Motor Company, these companies sought to decline their workforce by focusing on Mexicans and providing transportation for Mexicans to leave the country. At the same time, on the local level, the different counties, the different states, then took it into their own hands to round up individuals, frequently referring to that we're going to cut charities, we're going to cut relief by shipping Mexicans home.
That itself sounds awfully familiar. There is today, in 2015, a lot of rhetoric about the cost of supporting an immigrant population. Is it a direct parallel? This did all take place, of course, in the depths of the Great Depression.
Los Angeles had the largest Mexican concentration in the United States, and most of the Mexican population have been longtime residents of L.A. County, about 60% for quite a time, and were on welfare no more than a year or so. We found about 40% of them. In other words, Mexicans never constituted that much of the welfare population, and it also raised serious questions that even with their expulsion, would that have produced, to use the words of the 1930s, that many jobs for Americans?
You made reference to the raid at La Placita in 1931 in downtown L.A. Tell me about it. Was it an atrocity? Was it like the raid on Stonewall in Greenwich Village in the 60s? Was it Kristallnacht? What was it?
I think it's more of a declaration of the attitude of American society. By targeting this particular area, the historic core of the city, the Mexican population had been involved with the founding of the city and the development of the city. They're making a declaration here that Mexicans are not wanted. that Mexicans are not a part of the society. Rather, they are disposable labor. We use them in good economic times, and we get rid of them in bad economic times if we need to do that. And the Placita raid underscores that. And because Los Angeles had this great concentration, it becomes kind of the model. We don't call it deportation. We call it repatriation. We organize trains. That's the way we get rid of the Mexicans.
Your late co-author, Raymond Rodriguez, testified at a California State Senate hearing in 2003 about his personal history.
In many cases, families were split. That happened in our family. My dad left in 1936. When I was 10, I never saw my dad again.
How big a profile did this program have? Was the American public even aware that this was going on? Was it an issue? Was it a controversy? Was it a debate?
It's not so much a debate. It's rather an accepted idea. This is really what's best for them, to go to Mexico where they belong. There is in some of the documentation, every once in a while, some official remarking, well, these are U.S. citizens. Sometimes supervisors saying, it doesn't make any difference. They're all Mexicans. We want to keep the families together. So just proceed with their so-called repatriation. The federal government, as we go into the Roosevelt years and the New Dealers, they're pretty blind to this. Much like later on, they're blind to the placement of Japanese Americans in concentration camps.
Has this episode even shown up in textbooks?
Well, it has been a part of the teaching of Chicano history and Chicano studies. But in mainstream U.S. history courses, sometimes the only reference to Mexicans and Latinos is the obligatory reference to Cesar Chavez. But no understanding of this. There has been passage just last week of AB 146 here in the state of California that, if signed by the governor, encourages the teaching of unconstitutional deportation of the 1930s in California schools. The state of California in 2006 recognized it and offered an apology. That apology was memorialized with a monument right at the site of the Placita raid. That understanding of it, that knowledge of it, that teaching of it, I think is a good insurance policy in terms of not having this outrageous type of public policy implemented.
Francisco, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Francisco Balderrama is professor of history and Chicano studies at California State University, Los Angeles. He is the co-author, with the late Raymond Rodriguez, of Decade of Betrayal, Mexican Repatriation in the 1930s.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.